Yes. Thank you, sir. Well, this is an honor to be able to preach up here tonight. I never take it lightly when I get to fill a pulpit. I never have, and I never will take it lightly. God has burdened my heart for Texas, specifically North Texas. He's given me a burden. And 16 and a half years ago, the 17th, as a matter of fact, it was 16 and a half years ago, I put my trust in Christ. And on February 6th, it was 16 years for my wife. And the Lord called me to preach shortly after that. And it went on for a little while. I preached Reformers Unanimous at several places for about, I would say about 8 years worth, 6 to 8 years worth. And Lord called me to preach. And then I went to Norris. And I'm so thankful for Norris Bible Baptist Seminary. Helped me get my solid foundation that I needed for preaching, for teaching, for soul winning. Just all the way around, it helped me. But I remember when I started, oh, my wife hates this. And I know not everybody in the church knows my wife yet. But Laura, you have to stand up. That's part of it. You know, come on, everybody, right? All right, come on, stand up. Turn around so everybody can see you. That's my wife, Laura Davis. And I couldn't do it without her. I couldn't. She's my best friend, my soulmate, my helpmate, there to keep me from getting in trouble too much. But she's a blessing. But the Lord started working on my heart in 2017 about planting churches. And I went to Brother Stewart about it and my pastor at the time. But we were getting custody of my grandkids at the time and just started seminary. And there just wasn't any way that I could make it work at that time. So I put it on the back burner because I know God's call is beyond repentance. And so I guess it was about a year before I graduated. It was about 2020 during COVID. We all had a lot of time at home to think. But believe it or not, plumbing never slowed down during COVID. Toilets still had to be unstopped. Water lines still had to be repaired. Praise the Lord. But the Lord started working on my heart. And I didn't even tell my wife about it at the time. I didn't tell anybody about it. I was just praying deeply with God about this because I wanted to make sure it wasn't just a feeling, right? How many times have we seen a video of a missionary showed and it tugs at our heartstrings, right? And we're like, oh, man, I need to go help that out. And then 2 weeks later, you don't even remember. You know what I mean? And so I wanted to make sure. So here's how it all came together. I graduated, and the Lord was still really working on my heart. And it rocked on into the spring of 2022, and Brother Weaver was preaching chapel. It was April 22nd of 2022. And he was preaching out of Ephesians, some apostles, some prophets, and he got to evangelists. And the Lord was really working on my heart. And I'm like, I was trying to teach general epistles, and I'm thinking, why is the Lord working on my heart so hard about this? Lord, I got to concentrate on teaching class. And just out of nowhere, he looks at me and he says, an evangelist should be church planters. And at that moment, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. I even marked it in this Bible here. I was taking notes in the back here. I take lots of notes. I wore mine out. Anybody who taught me, I've got a lot of people in here that taught me in school, and I'm so thankful for them, but they've seen it. They call my Bible the Highlighter's Bible, the other Bible, because there's 5.5 years of North Seminary notes, and students have threatened to steal that Bible from me many times, so I do not leave it laying around. And so I'm breaking this one in, but I marked it in there, and I'll never forget, because I got done. And I was in there talking to Miss Candy and Brother Danny, and they've left. They were such a big help to Norris. And all of a sudden, Brother Stewart sticks his head in the door, and he says, I need to see you in the conference room. And I was like, what did I do wrong? What did I say that I shouldn't have said in class that a pastor or something is mad at me about? So I get in there, and he sticks his head in there, and he says, I just want to talk to you for a second about something Brother Weaver said. It'll just take a second. And he walked off, got his lunch, came back, and he started talking about it. But when he was gone, I was like, Lord, there's no way he's going to have the same thought that I'm having. There's no way. Sure enough, he come in there, he starts talking about it, and he's like, brother, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not even trying to give you a thought. I'm just saying, just think about it a little bit. And so I showed him where I'd marked call confirmed in there, and he was like blown out of the water. And I still haven't talked to Brother Weaver about it. I need to talk to him about it and let him know that it was with his message that God confirmed it. Anyway, I went home to talk to my wife about it. Because without her, it wouldn't be possible. Your wife makes or breaks you in the ministry. She does. And I have a wonderful wife that'll follow me to the ends of the earth. I love sushi, and I used to pray that I'd get called to Japan so I could have all the sushi I wanted. What an amazing thing that would be. But she doesn't like sushi, so she was hoping to be called to the nearest Chickenee. That's what she wanted. And so I went home, and I told her, and she's like, yeah, I knew something was going on. I went to my pastor at the time, and he knew. And it just, and the Lord, no joke, within 2 weeks, about 30 to 40 times, the Lord confirmed the call, and he's been confirming it ever since. And there's no looking back. There's no looking back. I put my face forward towards the plow, and there is no looking back because I know. But there's so many churches that need to be planted and revitalized here in North Texas. There's 202 cities in the Metroplex now. Decatur, Wise County is considered the Metroplex, all the way up to Sherman, all the way over to Mineral Wells, and all the way over, I don't know, all the towns east. But it's just huge. It's 15,600 square miles in the Metroplex. And you have cities like Argyle, Benbrook, Aurora, Fayette, Texas, Melissa, which most people have never even heard of Melissa, that's just north of Mesquite. You have Ponder, you have Prosper, you have Princeton. And in Melissa, just from 2013 to 2023, there were they grew from 6,000 a little over 6,000 people to over 16,000 people. Fayette, Texas, from 9,000 and something to like 21,000 people. And there's just such a population boom. And none of these places have a fundamental independent Baptist church in it. And it's in dire need. And there's so many churches. You can just look around. You can see them shutting their doors everywhere. And so God's really given me a burden for it. We'll go ahead and show the video. And then I'll come up here and preach. Preach a little bit. Hello, my name is Lee Davis, and God has given me a great burden for this nation and the path that America is headed down. A study by Lifeway Research revealed in 2019 that more churches were closing their doors than opening, continuing a decades-long trend that was only expected to accelerate. You see, in 2019, 4,500 churches closed their doors while only around 3,000 started up. We know that the pandemic of 2020 caused many of churches to close their doors, but we can see that the trend was already picking up pace long before then. The Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex population of 2023 is around 8 million people and is expected to increase to around 10 million people by 2030. That is a phenomenal number. The 19-county Metroplex covers around 15,600 square miles. Now, when you look at North Texas, the booming population, and the fact that churches are closing their doors at a record pace, we can see the great need for Christ-centered church plants and for revitalizing Christ-centered churches that are dying and in need of help. In Acts 1:8, it says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, churches are real big on worldwide missions, and they should be, but we must not forget about America. You see, in Proverbs 11, verse 1, it says this, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." You see, we must balance between planting churches here in America and all around the world. That way we can take the gospel to the whole world. Now, when you look at the downward spiral that America is headed down, we can see one thing that is for sure. America needs Jesus. America needs more and more Christ-centered churches that are doing what? Winning the lost, training up disciples, and sending them out to do the same thing, planting and revitalizing Christ-centered churches that will plant and revitalize more and more Christ-centered churches. Through the study of God's Word, I believe that this is how they turned the world upside down in one generation in the book of Acts. You see, at that time, they didn't have things like cell phones, automobiles, airplanes, or even the internet. As a matter of fact, they were under immense persecution. You see, Nero was taking Christians and he was dipping them down in oil and impaling them on poles and lighting them on fire while they were alive to light his gardens. They were crucifying Christians left and right. They were throwing whole families to the lions as they were ripped apart one by one. And even through all of this immense persecution, they still managed to turn the world upside down in one generation. God has given me a burning desire for America and to see America turn back to God. You see, we yearn for it. We pray for it. We weep for it. But here's a question that I pose to you today. What are we going to do about it? My prayer is that through the Word of God and through the leading of the Holy Spirit, that I will plant and revitalize more and more Christ-centered churches that will plant and revitalize Christ-centered churches. My other prayer is that Christians all across this nation, through the Word of God and through the leading of the Holy Spirit, will stand up and step out and plant and revitalize more and more Christ-centered churches. Would you pray for us? And would you prayerfully consider supporting the Cornerstone Church Planting and Revitalizing Ministry? Thank you, and God bless. If you would, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You can see the great need that we have. 10 million people by 2030. We are projected, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex is projected to surpass Chicago by 2030 as the third largest metroplex in the nation. That's phenomenal. There's a great need. And as you saw also, in 2019, 4,500 churches closed their doors, and only around 3,000 started up. That's not very good numbers there. And here's what will happen if we don't do something about it now. What will happen is we'll have more churches closing than opening, and eventually, what churches are we going to have? Besides winning the lost here in America, what churches are we going to have left to send over to the rest of the world? We'll end up like England and Scotland and all them other places where churches were turned into bars and pubs and stuff like that, and where they were once sending out missionaries all over the world. And then someone else will have to start sending missionaries over here to us. And so, that's what I love. God has not dropped the gavel of judgment yet. So it is not too late for America. Amen. I've heard people say, oh, to whom much is given, much is required. It's too late for America. Nope. Don't think so. It's not over till God says it's over. And so we just got to keep pushing ahead and forging ahead for Jesus Christ. So let me open my Bible to Philippians 2. That will probably help, won't it? And we'll read verses. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 4. It says this, starting in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. One thing I love about this church is the one mind this year, that we must reach a community, that we must reach the lost. That's the whole reason for a church. Programs, methods, everything else is great, but the main reason is to fulfill the Great Commission, yeah, to go ye therefore, whether it's here in Texas, whether it's in New York City where they are in dire need of churches. No, it doesn't matter where you're at or around the world. That is why we are here. And all the functions and everything, I can't wait for the Beast Feast. I'm so excited about that. I've never been to it, but I've heard about it, and I'm excited because I like meat and I love to shoot. So I'm excited about the Beast Feast. But I'm more excited about the Great Commission. I'm more excited about winning the lost. Verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or in vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And verse 4 says, look not every man upon his own things, but every man on the things of others. And I'll go ahead and read verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. And Lord, our cup definitely runneth over from it. And Father, we're just thankful that for this church you planted, that you have established, and so many more around this nation, around the world, Lord. And Lord, we know that the main thing that we're supposed to do is reach others with the gospel, the Great Commission, Father. And I just pray that you'll bless this message tonight. We love you, Father. Thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So my theme that I'm focusing on for this year is others, because we should be others-minded. I've read and I've studied chapter 2 over and over and over again, and I'm going to look at verse number 4 here in a few minutes in a kind of a different perspective. But others should be our theme daily, right? Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. We should never get tired of being others-minded. It is so important, because that's what Jesus was, right? But we live in what I like to call the selfie society today, right? It's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me. And so many people, including Christians, unfortunately, today, are self-centered, right? And we should be what? Others-centered. And that's what Philippians is all about, is being others-centered when you're reading in this area right here. We're supposed to be concerned about others, and it's very important. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28. He says this, "Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many," right? He's other-minded. And here's a thought. This is something I've been thinking about this year as I've been praying about being more others-minded and less, right? I'm trying to decrease, because we know that Christ needs to increase. John had it right when he said that, right? He must increase, but I must decrease. And I need to take my mindset off of myself and put it on others. But what about my neighbors? Have I reached my neighbors? Have I reached my neighborhood? Have I reached the people that we run into every day at Walmart? Have I reached all of my customers that I'm supposed to, that I should be reaching? Right? Like my wife and I were talking today, we're going to start going around and just inviting all of our neighbors to church here. And guess what? That gives us, well, I don't know what to say to my neighbors. Just invite them to church. And that'll give you the inroad to give them the plan of salvation right there. And even if they say, well, I got a church I go to, well, we're not trying to take you out of your church, but there's something more important. Do you know where you'd go if you died? Do you know, have you put your trust in Jesus? So turn over to Matthew 22 real quick. I want to look at something real quick. 22 verse 37. While you're turning there, this is a passage where the scribes and the Sadducees had been trying to trick Jesus over and over again, right? They're coming up and they're trying to trick him up with his words. And it's funny, because Jesus always perceived. He always knew, even if they didn't say a word, he knew exactly what they were thinking. And it's pretty amazing. You know, it talks about the Sadducees were the last ones that he had talked to, and he put them to silence. And I love what he says. He says, "You err not knowing the scriptures." That's something he said to them. And we need to make sure we don't err not knowing the scriptures. Because 2 Timothy 2:15 says what? "Study to show thyself approved unto who? Unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." How many times have you been asked a question in the Bible, and you just didn't know because you just don't study like you're supposed to, right? We should know. The Bible says, be ready always to give every man an answer, right? And we should be able to give them an answer about the hope that's in us, but we should be able to give them other answers too. But we get there, and this Pharisee, this lawyer, which if you read in other passages, he was also a scribe, because a scribe could be a Pharisee, but a Pharisee could not be a scribe. Gets confusing there, but you see that, and that kind of reconciles all of that part, but he goes and he's like, "I'll get him." And he goes up, he's like, "Master, Master, what is a great commandment?" Right? I'm going to get him. Because when he says there's just one, we know there's more than one. I'm going to get him. And in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment." Right, you see, the first four commandments all point to loving God more than yourself. Right? No other gods before him. Right? Don't make an image and don't bow down to it. Not of anything in heaven, in the earth, or under the earth, right? Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, the Bible says. And I love to finish that verse. You don't hear it finished very often. For thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I done messed it up now. But it says that if you take his name in vain, that he will not hold you guiltless. And we need to remember that. We need to reverence the name of the Lord. But it's about loving God more than yourself, right? And they were to keep the Sabbath. Now, we don't keep the Sabbath like they did, right? Why? Because Jesus is our rest. We rest in Jesus Christ every day after we put our trust in Jesus Christ. But that's what it was all about, right? And I always say this. It's all about loving God with every fiber of your being, right? Your spiritual pores should permeate Jesus Christ. Every aspect of your life should show Jesus Christ. I remember when I heard Brother A.V. Henderson preach, and I had no idea that he came here till I came here. But I've only been saved a couple of years. I want to say there was a preacher's meeting one evening out there at Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington or something. And I went out there with my pastor at the time, and I was real young in the faith, and I didn't know a lot of Bible. But I remember the other preachers told forever, and he got up there and he had 5 minutes. He got up there and said, well, I guess I really can't preach too much. You know, they took up all the time. He was real frail. They had to help him up. But he said one thing that stuck with me. He said, every day we should preach Jesus, but every once in a while we should actually open our mouths. Our lives should preach Jesus. Everything we do, when the economy is going upside down, they're like, why are they not freaking out? I'll tell you why. I don't put my trust in the economy. Now, I love a good economy, I'm not going to lie, but I don't put my trust in the economy. Because the Bible says I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Right? So standing on the promise, right? We stand on the promise, we sing it, but do we know enough? Matter of fact, Jesus said, I'll know that you love me if you keep my commandments. I know that you love me if you love the brethren. I'll know you're my disciple. And so it's amazing. So here's a question for you tonight. If you examine your life, how much do you put God first in your life? And is it only when you need something? Right? And then in verse 39, Jesus goes on to say, and the second is like unto it. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, the other six verses of the Ten Commandments are loving others more than self. Honor thy father, thy mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Do not covet what your neighbor has. Right? The other six verses were about loving mankind more than self. And then he goes on and he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You see, Jesus boiled them all down to two. Loving others, loving God more than self, and loving mankind more than self. And he could have just boiled it all down to one, right? He could have just said, love others more than self. But he knew that he needed to reiterate that God's first. Spouses, love God more than your spouse, and everything else will work out. Mothers and fathers, love God more than your children. Everything will work out. Children, teens, love God more than your mother and your father, and everything will work out. Always love God more. As my video showed earlier, I have a passion, a burden, a burning desire to see the lost reached around the world, but also to see the lost reached here in America, in North Texas specifically. And we must keep our focus on fulfilling the Great Commission, for it's about being other-centered. Now, if you'll flip back over to Philippians 2, verse 4, we're going to look at that. I'll read that verse, and then we'll look at that one more time. The next few minutes, I'm going to concentrate on the theme of this verse. And I know that this verse pertains to others in the church, but I'm going to look at it at a different perspective. In Philippians 2, verse 4, it says this, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You see, we're not to be gossips about the concerns of others. We're not to hunt up small stories and trivial scandals respecting their families. We're not to pry into domestic affairs and publish them abroad and to find pleasure in circulating such things from house to house. Right? But unfortunately, people love to gossip, and unfortunately, that includes Christians. But listen to this. This is how it should be. You see, we should seek the welfare of all others in a spiritual sense. We should seek to arouse the sinner and to lead them to the Savior. Do you know why? For he is blind and he will not come himself. He is unconcerned and he will not seek salvation. He is filled with the love of this world and will not seek a better. He is devoted to pursuits that will lead him to ruin. Warren W. Wiersbe said this. This is deep. You ready? You are a Christian because somebody cared. Here's the deep part. You ready? Now it's your turn. I love quotes like this. If you could examine your life right now, how much caring for other people would you find in your life or on your mind? Have you cared to share the gospel with someone today, this week, this month, this year, last year? Charles Spurgeon said this, if there existed only one man or one woman who did not love the Savior, and if that person lived among the wilds of Siberia, and if it were necessary that all the millions of believers on the face of the earth should journey there, and every one of them plead with him to come to Jesus before he could be converted, it would be well worth the zeal, the labor, and the expense. If we had to preach to thousands year after year and never rescued but one soul, that one soul would be full reward for all of our labor. For a soul is of countless price. You see, Warren Wiersbe, Charles Spurgeon, and countless others over the centuries have had it right. Would you go to the ends of the earth to save one soul? Jesus Christ left his throne in glory to come to this earth. You know, he came to us, as us, and for us. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the great I Am, the Creator. Left his throne to die for the creation. What are you willing to leave to reach the lost? What are you willing to do? It's commanded in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It says, to go therefore. The Great Commission is neither a suggestion, a thought, nor a hint, but it is a command. It is a command. And remember, John 14, 15 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? The Bible says his commandments are not grievous. If his commandments are grievous to you, you need to check your salvation. Or you need to check your situation. Because if you're right with God, his commandments will not be grievous. It's very important, very important. I've heard it said so many times, look at that drunk, look at that homeless person, look at that drug addict, look at that prostitute. There's no hope for them. Why would we waste our time on someone like that? Last year, my wife and I had the privilege of going up to Delaware, and we got to lead her 89-year-old atheist father to the Lord. I'm not going to lie. My faith was not good when I went up there because I'd always been told, man, when they're that old, forget it. But guess what? God proved me wrong that day. God proved me wrong that day. You see, I've heard it said so many times that they're not worth it. But I'll tell you why we should go after them, because God commanded it. And if God said it, that settles it, and therefore I believe it. In Matthew 9, verse 10 through 12, it says this, and it came to pass, as Jesus said at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You see, Jesus repeats this over and over again. He says it again, and this happens in Matthew 2, verse 15 through 17. It happens again in Luke 5, 29 through 32. We see this repeated through the Gospels. Why? Because we needed it. You know what Jesus was saying? He said, hey, I came to seek and to save them that are lost. Hey, I came to seek and to save them that are not whole and that need a physician. Yeah. Here's a question I pose to you today. Who do you go after for the gospel? Is it only the desirables, the ones who have money, or is it everyone, the desirable and the undesirable, right? How many Christians today will even talk to the undesirable ones? I've witnessed all of them. I don't care if they look like a drug addict. I don't care. You know why? Because they all need Jesus, right? And what is your focus? Is it on self or others? And are you self-centered or other-centered? I love this right here. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11 says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I love it because it says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, and ye are justified. Pastor talked about that this morning. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I love this. Paul was like, remember, none of these guys are going to get in, right? None of these ones that do any of this stuff. I love it though, but he says, but some were you. Aren't you glad that someone cared? Aren't you glad that someone went to the Siberia of your sinful life to reach out to you through the gospel of Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad that there's no variableness in him, that he does not waver from day to day, but remains the same? Aren't you glad that he's faithful and true? Aren't you glad that he loves sinners and he wants to redeem them just the same as he did 2,000 years ago and the same that he did when man fell in the garden? If you're born again this evening, aren't you glad that Jesus redeemed you by his precious blood, even though some were you? Look, we look around at this nation and we see all the wickedness and all the evilness going on. Right? We say, oh, that's horrible. I'd never go to Oregon. I'd never go here. Well, I'm glad Jesus said, he must needs go through Samaria, because those were the undesirables. Those were the ones that the Jews would go cross the Jordan instead of taking the short way through Samaria. And I think Jesus realized that he needed to go through there to make an example that everybody is desirable when it comes to salvation. Amen. One of the many reasons I have such a burning desire to plant and revitalize churches is because when I look around at the society we live in, I see the lost souls that are in need of Jesus Christ. I see that everywhere, right? All these people that support abortion and all of this other stuff we hear about on the news, I don't need to even mention them. You know what I'm talking about. This nation is taking a downward spiral, but they're not our enemies. You know what they need? The same thing you and I needed. They need Jesus. And how are we gonna get them, Jesus? More Christ-centered churches, planted, revitalized, replanted. This is how we're going to reach them. Why? Because who, once again, was a great commission given to? The church. Right? The church. That is our goal as this church. And I'm so thankful to be partnering with Heritage Baptist Church. It's such a blessing. Why? Because Heritage has the same heart that I have to reach the world from here all the way to the farthest parts of Siberia and the most undesirable parts of the world. If everyone would stand, we'll have an invitation. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been putting it off. I don't know. But if there's someone here tonight who's never put their trust in Jesus Christ, don't wait. The Bible says life is but a vapor, and that's it. It's over. And we all need to look at our eternal destination. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is written, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we all have a judgment, whether it's before the bema seat of Christ or the great white throne. And Christian, maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you haven't been others-minded. Maybe you hear it from the pulpit up here all the time, but maybe you haven't been others-minded like you should. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you don't care for the undesirable. I don't know, there's so many variables, but there's so many that need to be reached. I'll pray, and then the altars will be open. Dear Lord, please bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Out of my bondage, Lord spoke in your heart tonight, won't you come? Jesus, I come. Purpose of the church is to spread the gospel around the world. Failure and loss. Please be seated, and we'll continue with Brother, whatever his name is that just preached, Brother Lee Davis, explanation, and then there will be need a church vote. Miss Danya meant to say something as we do this. So, Brother Lee Davis's desire is, of course, to plant again. You've heard it, revitalize churches of the Metroplex around this North Texas area. Sorry, guys, it will be just a second. And then his desire is not to pastor these churches. His desire is to plant a church under the auspices of our church, or revitalize a church under the auspices of our church, get that church up and going, and then move on. So he will be a perennial. He'll continue to plant churches or continue to revitalize churches, and then bring in someone to take that church, and then bring in someone to take that church. And so that is a little different than what we've done before, where we've planted a church or tried to plant a church in different areas and we just choose one person. He will be planting or doing these continually. That's his desire. And I believe him. I trust that God will use him in a great way. And we want to be a part of that. So this will actually start next January. So he will start now raising some support, and already has gone to a few churches and raising support. His desire is not to raise support for himself. He'll raise support for the works that he starts. He plans to continue to be a plumber and do some other things that he can do. And then he has other aspirations in that area as he moves forward in the ministry. We'd love to be a part of that. This is a lot like what we've done with Steve Scott. Brother Steve Scott with the Baptist Builders out of our church, ministering to churches around America. So he will be a evangelist, missionary, out of our church. Everybody? Okay. Everybody say that? Okay, so Brother Clark makes the motion. We'll let Brother Jim Taylor make the second. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So again, we have Brother Steve Scott, missionary of our church, and now Brother Lee Davis. And we're praying for you, for your wife, and for the ministry. We look forward to working with you. And we look forward to God continuing to do some of more of this through our church. And I have others whom I believe God's going to use and do, and as we move forward. And so very, very, very good. All right. Announcements. Read the bulletin. Speaking of James Stone, Brother Stone's going to be our afternoon speaker on Anniversary Sunday. So look forward to that. Ushers, if you make your way forward, we'll take up the offering this evening. Be in prayer again for Joel Travis and Brother Chris Reed, our missionaries of the week. And pray that you would give tonight as the Lord has blessed you. Somebody's going to come and pray. My dad. By the way, my dad, we ought to just go ahead and make him an evangelist out of our church too. My dad preached for Brother Frank Heffner this morning in Jacksboro, so appreciate him. Lead us.
At least I attempted, anyway. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love, for the opportunity to serve, for the opportunity that we should put others first, Lord. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to give. And ask, Lord, that you bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. By the way, Brother Lee Davis absolutely has the support of Brother Jonathan Stewart and many other pastors that you guys know. And so I'm, again, just excited about what the Lord's going to do. We do have the First Impressions Supper tonight, so if you're working in our First Impressions Ministry, is what we're calling it now. It's the ushers and greeters, Welcome Center, even the medical team, the security team. We appreciate all of you who work so hard. And so tonight we'll have a meal. It won't be long, I promise. We'll eat, and then there'll just be a few minutes afterwards to speak to you guys and to you ladies. And again, appreciate you very much. Let's all stand. Be dismissed in prayer. I think Dr. Brody Wiggins is going to come and dismiss us. He's not a doctor. I appreciate Brody, and appreciate his testimony.
Let's pray. Dear and Father, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, Lord, to hear your word preached to us, Lord. Thank you, Brother Lee Davis, Lord, and the mission he has to serve you around here locally, Lord. I ask you, please, just help us as we go home tonight, Lord. Just help us throughout the week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.